So we'll go to the report and discussion on pension advisor report by the Bogdan Group.
And I'll just, I'll introduce Richard Holbein, who you all met back in October when we interviewed the candidates and selected Bogdan Group. Richard was one of the folks here with that, and of course here today was sort of really the first meeting with y'all. And of course, you can see the two pieces of material that the performance report, and then we'll talk some about investment costs. But I'll turn it over to Richard and let him.
Well, thank you. First of all, thanks for selecting us. We're very happy to be here and look forward to working with you. And I guess it's some sort of initial surprise now. You've got a plan that's been split and terminated. I'm like, whoa, okay, yeah. Here we go. It makes it a little bit more, complex as we move forward. We can, talk about that after the performance report. The report you have that we sent to you is the base report that Bogdan prepares for all of their clients. However, I would like to say that as we move forward, we can customize this type of report to fit, your needs and desires. So if there's something that isn't here that you'd like to see, or maybe there's a little bit, more here than you need on a quarterly basis, we can certainly, pull some of that out and or just leave the additional information as an addendum and have what you'd be more interested in. And the front is a executive summary, which a number of clients do. They like about a 3 or 4 page thing to really sit down and talk about, and then you've got 15 or 20 pages of additional information if somebody wants to refer to that. If I could have you turn to page 2, we'll talk a little bit about what happened in the markets before we get into what happened with your portfolio, so you'll have some idea of what to expect. From the standpoint of the overall equity markets, it was a very, very good quarter. From the standpoint of bonds, it was not such a good quarter. From the standpoint of both the quarter and the year, the equity markets had very nice positive returns. And from the standpoint of bonds for the year, there were very nice positive returns, unless you were at the short end and being in cash, at which time you really basically didn't get anything. And as you probably remember, a couple of years ago, if you were in treasury bills, you had negative returns. People were willing to buy a treasury bill at a dollar one and then get in it when they're only going to get a dollar back. It was a very strange period of time and a lot of fear in the marketplace. But we've come out of that. We've had 2 years of very good returns to the market. And I might just kind of talk about this year and to some degree. And normally in a third year is not quite as good as the first 2 years of market from the standpoint of recovery, but normally they're positive years. And so hopefully, knock on wood, we do get that positive return, and hopefully somewhere up around what we have for an actuarial assumed rate of return. On page 3, it really didn't matter whether you were in value or whether you were in growth, whether you were in large or whether you were in small. They all had positive returns. And pretty much down the whole line of what you would expect from a risk return standpoint, and that is that growth outperformed value, a little bit more risk to it. Small outperformed large, a little bit more volatility and risk to it. So it was very, much in keeping with what the academics will tell you over long periods of time you can expect. And it just, flowed right through. And pretty much the same thing for the overall year return also. Large was eclipsed by small returns, and growth was a little bit better than value. So all in all, if we go to, when we get to our portfolio, we should see positive returns coming in for the quarter and the year. On page 4, just to look at what happened in the different sectors, the same type of thing. We have positive returns all the way across the board. Obviously some doing a little bit better than others, but still very, very good returns across all the various economic sectors for the year and for the quarter. If there are any questions, feel free to interrupt as I'm going through this. I'm just trying to summarize some of the things that have happened here recently. And the same thing on page six, from the standpoint of the international markets. Very good quarter internationally and a very good year. So we had some very good returns, both domestic and international. And we should see the same thing in our portfolio. The one area, though, that we talked about earlier where you had a little bit of negative returns in the quarter happened to be fixed income, which is on page eight. If you had AAAs and if you had government types of securities, you had negative returns in the quarter. If you happened to be in high yield, you had positive returns. And the same thing for the year from the standpoint of high yield, significantly positive returns, but positive returns all the way across the quality spectrum over the last year also. AAAs were up 7.6, and high yield pretty much doubled that at 15.2.
Richard, why is that the high yields were so?
Well, one of the major reasons was that 2 years ago high yield was just whether it was, you know, they actually creditworthy high yield or not creditworthy high yield, or what you people normally refer to as junk bonds, was treated as junk. And they, as a matter of fact, even AAs and some AAAs were treated as though they were high yield. And so, you know, you had tremendous, pressure on them. And so here over the last couple of years, that's been, you know, coming back into more traditional, if you will, spreads to governments and to investment grade. The real, type of thing that causes a little bit of worry, and yet everyone says there's no real inflation sitting on the horizon, is the Treasury yield curve, and that rates are still very, very low. And if we look at what happened here at the end of 2010, we're all of a sudden having a little bit of a back up, but from the standpoint of a year ago, rates are low. We're still in a very, very low interest rate environment, which leads one to believe that historically, if rates on the average have been a little bit higher than this, then the longer bonds are going to be under pressure as we move forward. I know that there's been a lot of cash pumped into the system, rightly as it needed it. But that also puts a lot of pressure on the system, and whether we're going to have rising interest rates out of that or not, the Fed's going to have to be very, very good at when they pull the cash back out of the system. Hopefully I don't look it, but I was around the last time we had a rising interest rate environment, and it was very painful. As a matter of fact, I was on your side of the desk at a major corporation. And we were looking at, you know, bonds that were 70 to 80% of principal value because of the time at which we bought them and the length of maturity on them. Interest rates had gone up from 5.5-6% type of bonds up into the 14% area, and when all of that happens, the principal value goes down. It doesn't matter how well the corporation is doing that you own that bond from. It's just a pure mathematical game. And because of that, it's very, very, very difficult to get out of it. Might want to talk about that as we move forward, just kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but as we move forward into discussing how to position the portfolio and from this type of thing, one of the things we may want to consider are tips. Treasury inflation-protected securities and possibly the duration, and looking more intermediate from the standpoint of fixed income securities.
Richard, the way we're positioned is the uncertainty of California's budget and bankruptcy or whatever they're talking about, issuing IOUs in March if they don't do something between now and March.
Right.
How will that affect what we're investing?
Well, as I said, it's obviously going to have effect on the overall marketplace, but as far as I know, you don't own any those types of debt. I have a high net worth family that I work with, and we in the past had owned a lot of municipal securities and those types of things. From a tax standpoint, we got out of them about a year and a half ago. And they were saying, we don't have any more of those. I said, no, we don't. We're not playing that game right now. Because if you go into a default situation with local government or state government types of securities, you got real problems. And BlackRock may be able to give us a little bit more information on what's happening in that area. There's a very interesting chart on page 11. Which basically shows the market environment, and since we just came out of a terrible, time frame, over the last 10 years, we've had two of the worst equity markets of the last 100 years. Two out of three actually came in one decade, which is an anomaly, if you want to call it that, and put a lot of pressure on, on the pension plans from the standpoint of the returns they need to make and everything else. This chart just basically shows that if you came in, where were you at any particular point in time, a number of years later, and the dark green, if you start at certain times and then wind up in the dark green, those are really good times to be putting money to work. Obviously, if you're starting and running into the red or the pink area, that's not a good time to be putting money at work. But the interesting point about the whole chart is that over time, the market recovers. You've got a short period of time there where you've got some real bad pressure and a lot of negative things happening to you. But staying in the market, there's always been recovery out of this type of thing. Some better than others, but we have had recovery. And I know 2 years ago, with all of the fear that was out there 3 years ago, really, 2-3 years ago, it was hard to believe that we were coming out of it. Pages 12 and 13 are really the allocation of the overall plan, showing the domestic equity at 45% at the end of September, and then at the end of December, almost 49%, and that really just shows how well the equity markets performed over that quarter. And there was a little bit of contribution that came in to help that. The international equity went up a little bit from 16 to 16.5. So there were gains made in the quarter and slight change in the overall allocation. Allocation by manager. BlackRock, with both equity and fixed income, had the largest piece of the pie. Royce Premier, to get into the small and mid-cap area, it went from 10.4 to 11.5, primarily because of the performance of that particular fund. Harbor International went from 16 to 16.5. On page 15, this chart, as we go over time, just basically says, okay, here's where our target is, where are we from the standpoint of being above or below target. Fixed income, because of the pressure on fixed income, went down. the equity with a good performance for the quarter went up. On page 16, one of the things we do on a quarterly basis and then, you know, on a longer term basis, looking back on a fiscal year type of scenario also, is look at flows of money. Where did we start? What came in? What went out? What fees did we pay? And what expenses were involved in the plan? How much income did we make? Did we have any capital appreciation? And where did we end the quarter? For the last quarter of the year, went from $13.5 million up to $14.8 million. Part of that was due to transfers in, and part of it was due, you know, part of the downdraft would have been actual distributions, but the big thing was capital appreciation for the quarter. For the year, we had the contribution that went in of a little over $200,000. We had distributions of a little over $1 million, fees of 30-some-odd thousand, expenses of 105,000, income of almost 200,000, and capital appreciation of $1.3 million. To end the overall time frame up about $300,000. So it was from the standpoint of the overall performance of the fund on the flow basis, it was a very good year. The next couple of pages are just really a tabulation form of returns, you know, by portfolio and for the total trust. Following that, we've got charts showing graphic portrayals of these types of numbers. I don't like personally reading, you know, numbers, but number by numbers. I'd much rather go to this chart and see, okay, relatively, how did I do on this over this time frame? So if I could get you to move forward to page 22. And we can go back to the other pages if you'd like to do that, which just shows that how we did overall from the standpoint of the total trust, which is on page 22. For the quarter, we had, like I said, a very, very good quarter, and our overall performance was right up near the first quartile. For the fiscal year to date, and we do run fiscal year to date numbers for you, which I think is something really to pay attention to, because it, especially when you've got an actuarial assumed rate, how are we doing, you know, moving towards that? And we'll keep track of that as we move through the year. Then we, from the standpoint of the fiscal year to date, we're up almost 11%. Knock on wood, let's hold on to that. And for the trailing 1 year, a little over 11%, 2 years, 11, 3 years, that's where we get the bad time from 2008. We're up half a percent, 4 years, 1.6, and 5 years, 5.02, which is all of the history we've been able to put together so far. We went back to the original documents at Wells Fargo to do this with the transition of the prior consultant between firms. It seems like no one said they had the track record. So we've recreated the track record.
I have a question on expenses for our equity.
Yes.
Okay, so I want to make sure I'm understanding the report properly. It seems like, let's see, which page? Where we have 11 million.
You're on
page 17.
Okay.
So we have total domestic equity action on a market value of 11.1 million. And our expenses and fees were 132,000.
that right? Or 131,000? Excuse me. Yeah, 133,000 with expenses and fees. Does that seem high on just $11 million?
The fees, now, you know, this, if I'm not mistaken, I will check this out, sure, but I believe that the fees and the that the expenses contain the fees in that. And you see, part of the expenses have to do with the custody and all, and the rest of it too, the transactions that go on at the custodian.
But most likely, and I haven't checked this specifically either, but I would guess that the fees are probably the trustees or Wells Fargo's fees, and the expenses more than likely the BlackRock,
right,
Merrill Lynch fees. Those are the two big pieces. Now occasionally, and there probably also could be in fees, you could have the actuarial fee. I'd have to go back and look and see, but we hire the actuarial group that does that, and we actually have audit fees too, because we have to audit,
right,
this plan. So I'd have to see what makes that up. So you've really got the biggest single fee is the management fees, the BlackRock, Merrill Lynch, and the other things, and then the trustee fee, and then the actuarial and audit fee. So it's basically.
It just seemed high for a small. Yep. That's not a very big.
Well, it's not just the management fee. It's everything. It's supposedly, yeah, everything. Whatever, if anything is on that statement that has a fee connotation to it, it gets popped in there.
So this is what you see with other portfolios in?
Yes.
So it's not out of line.
No, I don't
guess
think it's
my
out
question.
Of line. No.
Okay.
It probably also has legal.
It may have some of the legal fees. Some of the fees that we incurred were charged plan some. Yeah, so there's some. We can go back and we can.
Y'all are looking at it though. That's all.
We approve all the fees, so it's like
one point
they get paid. So we're aware of what's. What I have to see is.
In a money rate return environment like this. You know, that's a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So a much bigger deal.
So, yeah.
Some cases it can be your whole return.
Yes.
But it was a good quarter.
Some of the, if you have money market funds, I mean, some of these money market funds, the fees are higher than the income that people are getting on them.
Give BlackRock some, cut them some slack if you're, there's that many other fees in that line of theirs.
Well, that's what we'll see, and we'll look at this and we'll refine this.
Right.
This is the first time we'll refine that and make that clear to everybody so they'll know what the fees are. We need to put a schedule that'll show specifically what the things are. Well, yes, there's, I can tell you roughly what the fees are on an annual basis for each of those elements if you just want to know.
I just want to know that we're looking at it and it's reasonable.
Sure. Yeah. On page 23 is a look, graphical representation of the return of the plan over rolling three-year periods in the upper left-hand corner, and how that has compared, if you will, to other pension plans. And the red boxes are when they're just below the averages for those particular time frame, and the blue boxes are when above. So you have been above a couple of times and slightly below other total plans. And the biggest factor in that has to be in the asset allocation arena and how you're positioned. And if you're if you've got a relatively high equity component and you're in a down market, you're going to underperform. If you've got a relatively high equity component and you're in an up market, you'll see a lot of blue boxes. So that's the big component to that overall total return picture. And, you know, keep in mind that over a number of these rolling three-year periods, that brings into effect that terrible downside market that we have. And you can see that also in the box to the right, as at the earlier time frame, significantly very, very good performance. And then as we've rolled into the bad market front, you know, time frame, then a little bit then underperformance, you know, moving through that downside market. And the other thing is a lot of these pension plans or whatever have other asset classifications other than just stocks and bonds in there, which may have held them up a little bit better because of those, the way in which those returns hit the overall, you know, performance arena for them. Some of them that have maybe some private equity or had some real estate. Private equity and real estate held them up at the beginning. And then as we move forward into this time frame, all of those things are being written down. So it's a much slower process, but it was a stabilizing factor for them in the beginning, which would mean they'd move up relatively. And now during the real phase at which there's recovery for those that didn't have that, they're going to be lagging a little bit. Over the last 3 years, the plan was slightly below average, but also had less than average volatility, and the same thing for the full five-year time. And we look at domestic equity on page 24. I don't know why there's an NA for the market time frame there. But anyway, from the trailing, from the standpoint of the trailing quarter, we were in total domestic equity in the first quartile. From the standpoint of the last year, slightly below average, and 2 years below average, and 3 years slightly below average, and the same for four. And for the five-year time frame, right around the average return of the domestic equity comparisons to other domestic equity portfolios. You can see that the real, you know, key to, I guess, your overall performance here was on the right-hand side. You held up very, very well during 2008 compared to other portfolios. Slightly below average, if you will, in 2007. Very, very good 2006 performance. And the most recent year, when things just absolutely ballooned, below average performance. And I'll let, you know, BlackRock address some of this possibly later, but one of the things that we've found with most portfolios, those that have higher quality securities here over the last year, in 2009 anyway, tended to underperform. 2009, 2010, it was all of the lower quality securities and a lot of, you know, volatility that really were beaten down early on in 2008 that came off the bottom so fast that the higher quality portfolios lagged.
In that thing, the higher quality should have done better in the down market than
it did. That's what 2008 showed.
So it sort of evens out, obviously, is what you're saying. So I'm sort of
right. So that's why you see you go out to the five-year time frame where you pick up the ups and the downs, and you're right in the middle of the pack.
And you smooth that out.
Yeah. If you look at S&P quality rankings from the March low in 2009 to the end of the year, and they rank them from A plus all the way down to C, and C-rated companies are up 185%. And A plus are up 63. So having a high quality bias penalized you from the recovery.
And you can see that same type of thing on the rolling 3 year from the standpoint of total domestic equity. just right, I mean, and, you know, and just pretty much traveling right along the, you know, the averages there. And then during the time frame when you pull in, what happened in the down market outperformed. Right around average, if you will, from the standpoint of return compared to other domestic equity portfolios, but less than average volatility. So more stability in the portfolio. And in a general statement, I think Joe even mentioned this at the meeting when we were making a presentation to hopefully work with you, is that the lower your volatility, a lower volatility portfolio that gets the same amount of return as a higher volatility portfolio at the end of the day is going to have more money. So. On page 26 with the fixed income portfolio, very good, you know, relative performance from the standpoint of, I'm sorry, fixed income. This is the large cap core portfolio, and I see core and I always think of fixed income. Anyway, from the standpoint of your large cap equity portfolio, BlackRock had a very good quarter. And you know, as we saw on the total, because that's basically BlackRock's you know, performance over the years, the same type of thing. We get out of the longer time frame, the overall performance has been pulled up from standpoint of 2008, very, very good relative performance in the down market, and with the, if you will, the lower quality securities doing so well, and the resurgence here, a little bit of lag in the up market, but still, you know, very, very good returns of a 2010 up almost 12% and 2009 up 17% are very good, you know, returns on an absolute basis. And the next page is the same type of thing we saw on the previous page from the total equity performance. Your new manager, we went back and pulled data from, it's a mutual fund, so we're able to pull data in it. So we put all of the data in so you could see historically how well this manager has done. In your total fund, only the returns of the manager for that time frame are in there. For the last, you know, for the time frame you've had him is in there. But from this standpoint, it gives you a look at how well this manager has done over time. In the various markets, and very similar, if you will, to BlackRock had a very good relative 2008. On a relative basis, not quite as good 2009, but still very, very good overall returns. Very good 2007. Underperformed in 2006. And significantly outperformed in 2005. Now, this small to mid-cap portfolio has a history of significant value added to portfolios. And the chart, if you will, on the rolling 3 year, you can see that there's been significant value added over on 5 years. I mean, just significant value added on rolling 5 year time frames. So a very good selection in adding this manager to the overall mix. Less than average volatility on the peer group scattergram and higher than average return. Harbor International, same type of picture. This manager has a history of adding significant value in the international marketplace. And has higher than average returns from the standpoint of the last quarter, trailing a little bit in the overall year, but still a 12% absolute return, which is very, very nice, and did exceed the overall EVA benchmark. Peer group scattergram, the manager had higher than average volatility, but also higher than average return. Now we'll move to fixed income on page 32. Latest quarter, like I said, the fixed income had negative returns for the quarter. This portfolio significantly outperformed the Barclays Government Corporate Index. Slightly behind the index for the year and for the 2 years. A little bit better for three, a little better for four, and better for 5 years. On a rolling basis, the three-year rolling, however, the portfolio has done very, very nicely compared to other fixed income portfolios over that time frame. And that pretty much sums it up. But any questions on overall performance?
Handout, I believe.
Okay. Yes, we have.
It's about the investment policy.
Yeah, the investment policy. We took a look at the investment, term investment policy that you have, and I went through it, put in what I think would be good additions to the policy. First of all, let me say I think that the policy in and of itself is fine, but there are a few things over the years that we've come to realize with various clients that add to a little bit more what you call best practice in the overall policies, just to make sure you're covering some of the bases that every now and then pop up. And one of them is to make sure there's something in there on asset allocation, which is on this this first page. And I think that was my whole, whole reason in looking at this was to try and say, okay, how can I help make this a more dynamic and also encompassing document? Cover some of the things that may come up in the future with regard to how the fund is actually being monitored and how, in fact, some of the things are that you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. One of the things that we are always in tune with is asset allocation, and asset allocation is a big driver of overall expected return. And so I thought there should be something in here right off the front that says that. And that's why I inserted a paragraph that said one of the purposes of this document is to establish asset allocation parameters that will provide for sufficient diversification of asset classes to control investment risk and achieve the investment return objectives. That's just a suggestion. As a matter of fact, all of these are suggestions, and if somebody during this process we go through says, well, maybe we ought to add something else, or how about, now let's refine that. Fine. I mean, this is your document. I'm just trying to help you out with it. On page two, one of the things that was left out of the assignment of responsibilities for the committee, I thought was and put in here, was establishing appropriate investment objectives. Just a statement to that effect. And from the standpoint of the consultant, I think it's very important to put in the document that the investment consultants must acknowledge in their contract that they're fiduciaries of the plan and be registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission under the Investment Act of 1940. Investment managers, here again, I think it's important that they serve, you know, they serve as fiduciary, responsible for specific security decisions. Also, from the standpoint of separate account management, and I separated this into separate